Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those bit swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
We have arrived to a Monday evening. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on at KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Have you for a very limited amount of time tonight. We'll take you for about the next half hour or so. We've got coverage of St. Louis University Billikens basketball tonight at 6:45 for the 7 o'clock tip-off over at Chaffetz Arena. Tonight, the Billikens are set to match up against Jackson State. SLU on a little bit of a run here. I'll tell you what, they had a crazy game on Wednesday on Thanksgiving Eve when they were solidly in control against UMass Lowell. And then UMass Lowell, who's a better team than you would expect based off the fact that they're UMass Lowell, they all of a sudden just could not miss, and it got really tight, and the Billikens were able to hold on, and now they are back at tonight as they take on a Jackson State team. With all due respect to the good folks at Jackson State, it's a game that they absolutely should win tonight. Jackson State comes in with an 0-7 record. Teams like that have to go in and do non-conference basketball for small schools, especially schools without football, although Jackson State does have football. But when schools like that really rely on men's basketball during the non-conference schedule to go out and play road game after road game after road game to make as much money as they possibly can. And that's what they've done. Of every game that they've played this year, of their seven games, all but one of them have been played on the road. And actually, that first game might have been an exhibition. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They haven't played a home game yet this year. They had an exhibition game at home. But every game that they've played has been on the road. They are not... This is what's crazy. This is what these schools do. They will play their first actual home game on Saturday, January 11th. And that is a league game. So they will play every single non-conference game on the road, going from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, to Houston, Texas, to High Point, North Carolina, to Cincinnati, to Nashville, to Bowling Green, to Kentucky, to Lexington, Kentucky, back to Nashville, then to St. Louis, then to Jonesboro, Arkansas, then to Ames, Iowa, then down to El Paso, Texas, over to Riverside, California, and then they play a road game against Alcorn State to open up league play before they finally get their first home game of the year. But that's how they fund their entire athletic department, and that's what they're doing. So SLU, hopefully for them, able to take care of business tonight against a Jackson State team that has yet to win a game this year. So we've got coverage beginning in about a half hour or so right here on KMOX. I have a couple things we want to get to today. A week from today, I will be down at Dallas. We will be doing this show from the baseball winter meetings. And right now, there are two things that I'm really kind of curious about. And it's both connected to individual players and whether or not they are Cardinals at the end of the winter meetings. And the two players that I think could potentially get traded during the winter meetings are Nolan Arenado and Steven Matz. The Arenado thing is more complicated because there's the way the contract is set up and the amount of money that you're going to have to move and the amount of years that you have to move. Like there's a lot of moving parts to that. And then also, in some ways, I think he's connected. I've talked about this a lot lately. I think he's connected to some of the other third base options that are out there. There are some situations that are up in the air right now. The Bregman situation is up in the air. The Willy Adames situation up in the air. Rafael Devers, is he going to be a third baseman? Alec Bohm, is he going to end up getting traded by the Phillies? There's just a bunch of stuff involving third baseman or potential third baseman in Willy Adames' case that, to me, it feels like could impact the pecking order of when a move is made with Arenado. I don't have any inside information on this, but I keep seeing all the reports and the indications. I'll tell you what, there's a lot more smoke out there right now when it comes to insider reports that there's an maybe expectation is too strong of a word, but there's at least a legit possibility that Arenado does get moved by the winter meetings or during the winter meetings, before the winter meetings do come to an end. Maybe he jumps the line. Maybe there are some teams out there that don't think that they're in the running for a Bregman, don't think they're in the running for a Willy Adames, and think that the cost is going to be too high to go get an Alec Bohm. I don't know. The team that keeps getting brought up is the New York Yankees. And the more I look at it, the more that one makes sense. Yeah, I keep jumping around on this, and it's not because I'm changing my opinion. I mean, I am, but it's not because I'm just kind of willy-nilly changing my opinion. It's because other information comes out. The Yankees potentially have an opening at third base, and the idea that maybe he could even play a little bit of first base, they've got an opening at first base. Anthony Rizzo is not going back there. Jazz Chisholm can go over to second. He's a natural second baseman. That was always the spot that they wanted, but they had the situation with Torres where he wouldn't go over to third. So Chisholm, as a better teammate, said, okay, I'll go do it. And the idea was always to get him to second. So they're gonna have innings to give at third base and at first base. It's already a really, really good team, especially if they're able to get a Soto deal done and bring him back. You could bring in a Nolan Arenado and it really be, for what he gives you defensively more than anything else, you can bat him low. He can be your seven hitter. And with the Yankees, that's probably what he is. So that one's starting to make a lot more sense to me. And when it comes to the Yankees, they might be willing to pick up a higher percentage of the salary. So if that's what the Cardinals are trying to do, get out from under the salary as opposed to bring in prospects, maybe that's the route. And maybe the Yankees just don't see themselves as a fit for some of the higher end guys. Like, you know, a Bregman's going to maybe they've got other things that they'd want to do than go after a guy like that. So I don't know. I think it's really interesting to talk through the Yankees' possibility. I bet Arenado likes the idea of being a Yankee, and clearly that would give him an opportunity to win a World Series potentially. The other guy is Steven Matz, and when you look at the deals that have been done with Matthew Boyd, who's been injured basically as much as Steven Matz has been, and even the Frankie Montas deal that just got done, when you go look at those two salaries and then you go look at Steven Matz and what he could potentially do, I think Matz's value has gone up in the last 48 hours. I guess the Montas deal was last night. So, and the Boyd deal, it was not that long ago too. So like in the last 48 to 72 hours, whenever that Boyd deal got done, I would argue that raises Matz's value, and maybe you could get a team out there to his salary. What is it? $13.5 million for the upcoming year. When you've got Matthew Boyd making 28 over two, that tells you that there's some teams out there that might be willing to spend. So that's we're going to talk about this more as the week goes along. Those are my two main things to look for as the winter meetings are now 1 week away. Does Arenado get moved? Does Matz get moved? I think the other potential things, a Ryan Helsley trade, a Miles Michaelis trade, if any of those things do come to fruition, I don't think they happen here in the near term. But those first two, I think, possibly could. We'll take a break, talk a little college football, and look back at the weekend that was. It was a pretty good weekend for our area teams. We'll get into that in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back out of here on KMOX. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line. We are going to get out of here coming up in about 20 minutes or so as we make way for St. Louis University Billikens basketball. We're going to Billikens basketball two nights in a row. Tomorrow we've got women's basketball from SLU, but tonight it is on the men's side with Jackson State, the opponent, and Bob Ramsey. Earl Austin Jr. will have the call of the game for you, beginning with coverage at 6:45. Another crazy weekend of college football. I think for the most part, the college playoff field is settled. There are a few things that are still up in the air. You look at, do they find a way? Does the committee find a way to get Alabama in there with a three-loss Alabama? Does Ole Miss deserve to be in there? Does South Carolina deserve to be in there? I think you can make the argument if the final spot comes down to one of those three teams, which it possibly could, Alabama, South Carolina, and Ole Miss, if you just want to do it based off who's playing the best football right now, I think you can make the argument for South Carolina. And by the way, not to begrudge this point too much, and I'm not trying to rub it in to Mizzou fans, but man, does that South Carolina loss look like a killer now, because they were so close. They were so close to winning that game. And going into that game, you didn't think that there was really a legitimate scenario where Missouri could be into the college football playoff. It did not seem like a possibility whatsoever. And now you look back on it with everything else that happened, and if Missouri had won that game against South Carolina, we're probably talking about Mizzou having a really legit shot of being in the college football playoff. So they probably came up. they came up at least to be fair and not make this bigger than it actually is. I think I can sit here and say they were one win away from being in legitimate contention. Not that they for sure would have gone in, but legitimate contention. I don't know if you saw this on social media. I love it. I absolutely loved it. So Lane Kiffin, the head coach of Ole Miss, not exactly a guy who is one to hold his tongue. He tweeted out a screenshot of something that somebody else had put together. So he did not write this, but he took it from somebody else and he tagged it on Twitter at CFB Playoff. So trying to get the attention of the College Football Playoff. It said, after all the chaos yesterday, there looks to be three bubble teams fighting for the last remaining playoff spot. All three are 9-3 and represent the SEC, Ole Miss, Alabama, South Carolina. It says South Carolina lost to both of them, and their best win is against Clemson. Ole Miss and Alabama best wins are against Georgia. Georgia beat Clemson 34-3. Safe to say South Carolina is out, and it's between Ole Miss and Alabama. Ole Miss has 9 wins, outscoring their opponent by 296, 390-94. Alabama has 9 wins, outscoring their opponent by 252, 371-119. In the 3 losses, Ole Miss was outscored 73-60, so by 13 points. In the 3 losses for Alabama, they were outscored 88-55, so by 33 points. Common opponents, both beat Georgia. Ole Miss won by 18, Alabama won by 7. Both beat South Carolina. Ole Miss won by 24, Bama won by 2. Alabama beat LSU by 29. Ole Miss lost to LSU by 3 in overtime. Ole Miss beat Oklahoma by 12. Alabama lost Oklahoma by 21. Clearly, Ole Miss should be in the playoff over Alabama, but Bama is the bigger brand, and more than likely they'll get in over Ole Miss. So, Lane Kiffin saw that, and he tweeted it out and sent it to the good folks on the College Football Playoff Committee. This is where we localize it, and I love it. I love this from Illinois coach Brett Bielema. This is classic. So Brett Bielema quote tweets Lane Kiffin's tweet. So Brett Bielema is trying to outdo Lane Kiffin on social media, and we know that Lane Kiffin loves his social media. So Brett Bielema tweets out, "I couldn't agree more at Lane Kiffin, but here's another thought for the College Football Playoff. Ole Miss, number 31 strength of schedule, and 3 losses to unranked Kentucky, Florida, and an 8-4 LSU team," with a shrug emoji. Then he says, "Illinois has a number 30 strength of schedule and has 3 losses to number 1 Oregon, number 4 Penn State, and a 1-possession game to Minnesota. How about we just take the 12 best teams and see where it goes?" So, look, Illinois is not getting into the College Football Playoff. I don't think that's the point that Brett Bielema is trying to make here, although I love his social media presence there. I don't know who the 12 best teams are. I've talked about it a lot. I think it is incredibly silly that just because you win a conference championship from one of the Power Four conferences, that you get yourself a first-round bye in the College Football Playoff. The first-round byes should go to the clear top 4 teams in the nation. So that bugs me. I hope that the College Football Playoff fixes that at some point in time, because as it sits right now, like, Boise State is likely to get a first-round bye. That's not right. And also, it's not right for Boise State, because Boise State has less of a chance of getting a win in a second-round matchup. Now, I know the people at Boise will jump at the opportunity to have a first-round bye, but at the same time, if you're Boise State and you're a team that is going to get knocked out in the second round one way or another, wouldn't you rather have gotten a first-round win and had that experience and it be one of the best wins in program history? I mean, you think about that Boise State-Oklahoma game for all those years ago, the Statue of Liberty play and what they like. That's, you remember that. And when you're Boise State, with all due respect to the good folks of Boise, when you're Boise State, games like that stand out more than the teams that are competing for, you know, College Football Playoff and playing in high level bowls on an every year basis. So I don't like the idea of a number 10 Boise State team getting a first round bye where they're not quite as likely to win that second round game. Anyways, I don't know who the top 12 teams are. Man, if I'm looking at Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina, honestly, I can make an argument for any of the 3 over the other for a myriad of reasons. If it's who's playing the best football lately, it's probably South Carolina. If it's who's got the best talent on the roster, it's probably Alabama. If it's who's got the best resume of that group from start to finish, it's probably Ole Miss. Like that's going to be a really, really tough decision for the committee to figure out. And I don't know what it's going to look like. As far as the conference championship games that are going to be coming up this weekend, and what that UNLV Boise State championship game in the Mountain West, that turns into a really, really big game for the college football playoff. Georgia Texas, that game probably means more to Georgia than it does to Texas, but I don't think Georgia gets knocked out of the college football playoff, even if they end up losing that game. Same deal with the Big Ten championship game, Penn State and Oregon. Both those teams are in no matter what. ACC championship is interesting. Clemson and SMU. Does SMU get in no matter what? They're 9 right now with one loss. If let's say they lose that game close to Clemson, get their second loss of the year against a pretty good Clemson team, is that enough to keep them in, or does Clemson just go get that auto? Like, I don't know. So there are still some things that could end up happening this upcoming weekend that could impact how many bids are really left over and the number of teams that are contending for those final bids. But if nothing else, the expanded playoff, like this is an interesting conversation that we're having. And I like this conversation a whole lot more than the conversation of who are the top four teams in the nation. Because if we're doing that, it's somewhat clear. Because right now it's Oregon, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame ranked 1-4 in both the AP poll and the coaches poll. We'll get a new college football playoff ranking coming up tomorrow. But if that's the situation we're in, it's pretty clear that the question would be, could Oregon lose to Penn State in the Big Ten championship game and still get in? But if Penn State lost, they'd probably be out. Same thing with Texas in the SEC championship game. If they win, are they probably in? But what about Georgia? If they lose, are they out? They probably would be. Notre Dame is just sitting there where they're at and not playing in a conference. So I think there's a lot more intrigue, because when you're talking about more schools having an opportunity, there's more interested parties, and that results in more compelling conversation. And the conversation regarding this college football playoff right now, I think, is incredibly, incredibly compelling, and it's going to be interesting. And there's going to be people who are really, really upset, more so than what happened last year with Florida State. There's going to be, when you're trying to separate out, basically one of these teams is going to be outside the top 12, but we'll get a conference championship, so get in. So when you're trying to separate out, putting the line basically at number 11, and the number 11 team gets in, the number 12 team is left out, that's going to be challenging for the committee for sure. One more break. We will come back and we'll wrap things up. We'll also get you ready for Billikens basketball. They are in action this evening as they match up against Jackson State. We're back with more in just a moment on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a couple minutes left in the program. We're going to get out of here early for Billikens basketball. They match up against Jackson State coming up this evening, 6:45 for the broadcast, and then 7 o'clock for tip-off. By the way, a little programming change that we've made here at KMOX, which I think is very, very cool. Generally, when we have Billikens basketball or have a live sporting event or something that's going to end a little later in the evening, we do not do Gas House Gang. We just go kind of back into normal programming, because generally Gas House Gang runs from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Well, that changes tonight. As soon as we get done with Billikens basketball, we'll go into today's edition of the Gas House Gang. And Monday shows are always a lot of fun, because today it was all four of us, myself, Tom Ackerman, Kevin Wheeler, and Bernie Miklas. And generally on Mondays, unless there is something really, really pressing, generally on Mondays, we talk about Cardinals baseball and nothing else, and that is how it played out today. So you're going to hear a lot of Cardinals talk as soon as Billikens basketball wraps up tonight, and we get into a number of things, including the Nolan Arenado situation going to the winter meetings, like I was talking about earlier, and also Steven Matz. And something Kevin Wheeler and I talked about this a bit at 5:15 tonight. I think the Cardinals are in a really, really good spot right now when it comes to Eric Fetty. Because Fetty, you can bring Fetty into the season. He can be your number two starter behind Sonny Gray, and I think you're going to feel pretty comfortable with those two guys at the top of your rotation at number one and number two. However, when you look at the small amount, I mean, small is in relative terms, but when you look at the small amount of money that Eric Fetty is due on his contract for this upcoming season, he is set to make $7.5 million. And we talked about this earlier with the Montas deal and the Boyd deal, where those guys are making about $15 million a year. Boyd a little less, Montas a little more. All of a sudden, Eric Fetty at $7.5 million, I think he becomes very, very, very attractive to other teams that maybe don't get who they want in free agency from a pitching standpoint, or the price gets a little bit too high. Like, I am sure there are president of baseball operations / general managers across baseball who are shaking their heads at the Matthew Boyd deal and the Frankie Montas deal, sitting there and going, how does a team compete when these guys, when a guy like Boyd, who basically hasn't pitched for the last 4 years consistently due to injury, when a guy like Frankie Montas, who had, what, like a 4.5 ERA with Milwaukee this year, and I think he opted out of his deal, right? Do I have that right? I think he did. This man has a 4.5 ERA in Milwaukee, making pretty solid money, and he opts out of his deal thinking that he can make more somewhere else, and he was right. He made the right decision. That's how much pitching costs right now in Major League Baseball. It's incredible what it is costing. So there might be some teams out there that are going to look at Eric Fetty and come to the Cardinals and see what it would take to get Fetty. We talk so much about Ryan Helsley being the guy who's going to bring in a haul for the Cardinals if they trade him, and he will. But every single one of these kind of high-dollar contracts for middling starting pitchers, every single time one of these gets signed, it is better for the Cardinals because there is a chance that they could spin Eric Fetty for something pretty, pretty good from a prospect haul. And if they don't, then they have him as their number two starter, and they win in that scenario as well. So that's something to keep an eye on. This Eric Fetty, you move them, you open up a spot for another younger pitcher. They want to give young guys opportunities. This Eric Fetty thing, I think, is something to keep an eye on. We've got Billikens basketball on the way next. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr. have the call next here on KMOX.